Lord, we give thanks to you, the living God. We bless you and we praise you. Lord, we want to say thank you, Lord. And I pray for all of us, Lord, we may be enabled by your Holy Spirit to open our hearts up to you more, that we may receive more of that great love the Father has for us. Lord, your word tells us that, behold how great the love is the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. We bless your name. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins. We're here this morning, Lord, and I'm sure we've all failed. In some ways this week, Lord, we pray for your forgiveness and your mercy. Who is a pardoning God like you, Lord? And yet, Lord, we pray for the enabling power of your Holy Spirit, that we won't be sinning so much next week, Lord. We ask for your strength and your mercies to do what's right in your sight, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for your word. We pray your blessing to our hearts, Lord, as we read it day by day. Lord, let your Spirit minister in our spirits that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. I pray, Lord, for us here now, that as we come to look at your word, we may not just, Lord, be entertained, as it were, Lord, but understand and realize the great things you have done for us. And, Lord, what a great responsibility that lays on us, Lord, to share that with the other people around about us. Grant us your blessing and help in Jesus' name. Amen.
There we are. What a strange thing to start with. Hate united. There they are.
This week we're going to be looking at Jesus' trial. One of the other trials, he had a trial before a religious court. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priests and all that lot. Then he goes to meet the secular powers. That's Herod and Pilate and so on. So that's the trial we're looking at today. And here we have the groups of people that are involved. And it's a community of hatred. They all hate each other's guts, honestly. Right? So, this guy on the left at the top is Herod. Herod. Not a popular man. Right? Not a popular man. People didn't like him. He was a bit of a scheming so-and-so. Right? So, that's Herod. He wasn't Jewish. He was Idumean. That's down the road a bit. Yeah? But he's king of the Jews at that time. And so that's why his father, that was the Herod that murdered Jesus, the people at the time of Jesus, right? Yeah. That's why he was worried when he heard, where is he who was born king of the Jews? Because he wasn't a Jew, right? So anyway, he carried on his father's ways, yeah? So that's Herod. And of course, he was under the responsibility of the guy on the other side, the Romans. He is a Pilate. He was the appointed governor by Caesar for the area, right? So he's the representative of the Roman authorities. And you can imagine in Jerusalem and in Israel, Romans were not welcome. In fact, Pilate had done some rather nasty things up in Galilee. So since Herod was responsible for Galilee, they'd fallen out over that, yeah? So not the best of friends, yeah? And then we have these guys, the high priests, Annas and Caiaphas, right? They were religious authorities. They were the aristocrats of Israel. They liked the money, you know, and the power and the position. Well, they couldn't stand Herod, and they certainly didn't like Herod, Pilate, right? So they're not a very happy bunch, right? And then we have these guys on the other side. They're the Pharisees. They didn't like anybody either, see, because they were very strict. Right, and all these others weren't as strict as them, so they were them, and we were us. Yeah, so, not happy, any of them. But the strange thing is, they all come together when it comes to hating Jesus. It's remarkable, isn't it? It just shows how much they hated Jesus that they could get over their hate of each other. But we'll see that as we go on. Next slide, please. Right, so we're in Luke chapter 23, verses 1 to 25. Right, let's have a look at that. Then the whole assembly arose and led him off. This is led Jesus off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be a Christ, to be the Christ, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted. "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he'd been wanting to see him. From what he'd heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. And neither has a Herod, for he sent him back to us, as you can see. He has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." With one voice they cried out, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified. And their shouts prevailed. And so Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man that had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. Not very good, is it? So let's have a little look at some of the details of that. Right, so the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. That assembly was the religious court that Jesus had been tried in and found guilty. Fixed, of course. It was a completely illegal thing from start to finish. But they all go off and led him to Pilate. Now look at that. They all go off to the Roman governor. And the reason they go to the Roman governor is because they do not have the power to put anybody to death. And they've decided Jesus has got to die, so it's got to be the Romans that do it. Right? So they take Jesus to the Roman governor. That's a picture of the Antonia Tower. It's in Jerusalem. It's this was taken quite a long time ago. There's a lot more people around now. But that's part of the ruins of the Antonia Tower. They were the barrack areas for the soldiers, the Roman garrison that was in Jerusalem. So in that area, they cart Jesus off up to see Pilate. Next one, please. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man subverting our nation. He opposed payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, the king." Right, so those are all political accusations. Nothing religious, because they know Pilate won't have anything to do with the religious stuff. So it's all political accusations, right? And I put it down as the spin doctor, because they're telling a complete pack of lies. Right? It's all spinning stuff that Jesus has said and twisting it. Right? So, lies, lies and more lies. They say, "We found him subverting our nation." No, he wasn't subverting the nation. He was subverting them as hypocrites and liars and cheats. They didn't like it, but he wasn't subverting the nation, right? And it says, "He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar." No, he said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." Right, so, another bit of a spin job there. And then lastly, "He claims to be a Messiah, a king." Well, he did claim to be a Messiah and a king, but not as they meant it. Right? For them and for the Romans, a king is a threat to Caesar's rulership, you see. So he's a heavenly king. He's no threat to Caesar. He's our Jesus, of course. But they just sort of spin it to make it sound as bad as it possibly can. Right? Beware of the news people. Right? They can spin things in all sorts of ways. Right, so that's what's going on. Next slide, please. So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Right, it's a yes answer. "You have said so," remember? It's a Jewish way of saying yes. You said it.
Yeah.
Right, okay. But there's a but in it as well, because what we have here with Luke is just a short version of what went on And we read in the other Gospels that there was quite a conversation between Pilate and Jesus. There's quite some stuff going backwards and forwards between them. And Jesus is asked, are you the king of the Jews? He says, yes. He says, but my kingdom isn't of this world. If I were an earthly king, I could have called in a load of people to fight for me. That's not my way. So Pilate knew that he wasn't a threat to Caesar at all, although he claims to be the Messiah, right? So that's what's going on behind the scenes. So all we have with Luke is, are you the king of the Jews? And he says, yes. And so the but is, I am the king, but I'm not the sort of king they're saying I am. Right? That's important, yes. Because they got the wrong idea of who the Messiah was. The general idea of who the Messiah was, a military leader who would come and kick out the Romans and set them up. Right? Not going to happen, because that's not what the Messiah's job was going to be. Right, so, next then, please. So, the real verdict is Pilate announces, he announced to the chief priests and the crowd, notice, and the crowd, he's got a bunch of other people from outside in as well now, and he says, I find no basis for a charge against this man. That is the truth. Jesus is not guilty of any of the accusations that they make. Right? So it's a complete sham, all from start to finish. Right? That's what's going on. But Pilate, I'll give him credit. He has actually said, Jesus is not guilty. Right? Okay, so that's good. Next then, please. Right. But they insisted. Have you ever had people hassling you? Right? Yeah, well, these are good at hassling Herod. Pilate, rather. Yes? Yeah. They say, he stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here. Right? They won't take no for an answer, that's for sure. But the way they say, he stirs up the people. He didn't stir anybody up. He stirred them up in that sense. But the people were very happy. Right? Twisting it again, you see. But to use the phrase stirs up is a very important word, because what don't the Romans like is riots. We don't want riots. Keep them all calm and quiet, you know. You like the quiet life? You must be a Roman then. Yeah. Okay? So, keep it all quiet. So they're putting pressure on Pilate. They're actually saying is, they're threatening there's going to be a riot if he doesn't go their way. And you can imagine they're going to say, they're suggesting this. I mean, good with words they are, you know. They're suggesting he's going easy on troublemakers. And if we report him back to his boss, he's for the chop. Right? So they're threatening him. That's really what they're doing. Very nice and subtle, isn't it really? Not really, no. So, they've got a gun to his head. That's what I'm getting at here. So, he stirs the people all over Judea, and starting in Galilee, he's come down here. Right? He's one of them foreigners. They're northerners, you know. Come from Galilee. Right? Next then, please. Right. On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Why was Herod in Jerusalem at that time? Because Herod, his area is Galilee, up north. Why has he come down south?
Here for the Passover.
It's the Passover, yes. Big feast, everybody's there. And when you're king, you like to be seen, don't you? Yeah? Yeah, of course they do, right? So he's turning up to look good and try and make a nice impression with the Jews. Right? Because he's upset a few, right? So you've got to look nice, yeah? Try and make a nice impression. So he's in Jerusalem at the time. Very convenient. And it says, when Herod heard that Jesus was from Galilee. Right? Well, was Jesus a Galilean? Nazareth is in Galilee. Galilee is the sea, the area around there, and the city and the town, well, the towns really, around there. Capernaum, Nazareth, and those things, yeah? Jesus was from Nazareth, but was he a Galilean? He wasn't born a Galilean, though, was he? Ah, you see, there's the interesting thing. They all took him as a northerner, and that's why they rejected him as the Messiah, because the Messiah wasn't born in the north. The Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. But he was born in Bethlehem. But he moved north with the family, of course. Yeah? Right? Okay, so, when he hears that Jesus is a Galilean, Herod thinks, aha! This could be my get out. Right? So, what's he thinking is, Pilate can't stand him. Absolute jerk, don't like him at all, right? But it's his area that's responsible for Galilean. Now then, Jesus is a Galilean, I can load him off onto Pilate. Yes, Great idea. Of course, it's not nice for a Roman to give responsibility to somebody that they're supposed to be underneath, you know. It's like giving the underling the top job, you know what I mean? But it's worth it, isn't it, to get him off your back? Yeah. So, Pilate makes this compromise of conceding authority to Herod. We'll say he's in charge here, and lump Jesus on there. Great! Got rid of it. Can you get rid of problems like that? No. Doesn't work, does it? As we see, it doesn't work in this case either. Right, next thing please. Passing the book will not work. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly impressed, because for a long time he'd been wanting to see him. From what he heard about him, he hoped to see him perform perform a sign of some sort. Right, so he sees Jesus as an entertainer, doesn't he? Oh, I've heard a lot about him, you know. And I heard all these things he's doing. It'd be nice to see a few tricks, wouldn't it? I've got news for you. Jesus does not perform. Right? He doesn't jump up and down at your requests and things like that. Yeah? Jesus does things for people, but he's not a performer. And the interesting thing is, if you see some of the miracles that Jesus did, he sometimes, right, well, it seems fairly often, he took people aside when he healed them or did some miracle. Why? Because it's between him and the person and the Father, right? He's not into demonstrating great things to crowds most of the time. Yeah? So, here's Herod. Here's the man who, first of all, knew more than Pilate about the Jewish religion. He studied his stuff, you know, he knows about religion. Right? That's one of the things. So, in a sense, he's more qualified than Pilate to deal with the issues. Right? But the other is, he once listened seriously to John the Baptist. When John the Baptist was arrested, he protected John the Baptist, and he used to like to listen to him. Of course, he didn't like what John said, because John told him he was an adulterer. Right? He'd taken his brother's wife. Yeah? So, he didn't like what John said, but he protected John for quite a while, and he used to like to listen to what he had to say. He was getting interested spiritually about things for a while, right? But things worked out in a nice way for John the Baptist, didn't they? Eventually, Herod had John the Baptist executed. His head on a plate for his daughter's dancing. Their stepdaughter's dancing, yeah? So, that's the Herod we're talking about, right? That's the guy that killed John the Baptist. And what does he want now? All he wants is entertainment. He's not interested in the spiritual at all. He's lost the plot. Friends, there's a terrible warning in that. Yeah? While people may be interested to start with, if they ignore and reject, they don't get softer, they get harder and harder. So that the time may come when what was really going to impress you in an amazing way, fancy meeting Jesus. Right? But it has no impression on him whatsoever now. All he wants is a bit of entertainment. Not good. Next then, please. So here we have. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. He's come to that, isn't it? I mean, what sort of state is a person in when Jesus has got nothing to say to them? It's not good, is it? He's got nothing to say to this man. Because he's rejected everything at every turn. So, what's the point? So, he rejects Jesus, so Jesus has rejected everything about him. Right, next slide, please. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Where did they come from? Hey, I thought it was a do with Herod. But no, they turned up. Isn't it amazing how they get around, you know? Right? Aggravators always seem to pop up, you notice that, yeah? These people moved around, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. This is after this long interview that Jesus never said a word to, right? And what happens is, when the Lord doesn't do what you want, ridicule him. They beat him up as well, of course. Yeah? He'd been beaten up already, by the way. Right? But that's what they're up to. Right? If they can't get Jesus to do what they want, they start ridiculing and mocking him. Not good. Next slide, please. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. Elegant, it's all this special cloth, Roman stuff, you know? High quality material. Yeah? What are they doing? They're dressing him up as a king. They're making fun of him as the so-called king of the Jews, right? That's what it's about. Right? But the thing is, right, they mock his claim to be a king, right, but they don't make any decisions. Right? He's not as stupid as you make out, he's Herod, you know. He says, it's not my pigeon, sent him back. Herod must have thought when they saw him coming back, oh, no.
Yeah.
But I got rid of that lot, yes. No, right? So the problem goes back to Pilate. Brothers and sisters, problems are not resolved by dumping them. You have to face it. Right, that's the way it works. Next slide, please. Therefore, that day, Pilate and Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they'd been enemies. Isn't that nice? Yeah? Well, for a while, you never know, right? Because Pilate has given Herod a bit of a boost, you know? Right? And Herod thinks, oh, he's not as bad as I thought he was, you know? So, they're chums now. Jesus unites enemies. Well, that's true in a very good sense, but it's not a very good sense with this lot anyway. And Jesus can sort things out. So, the Bible describes their confederacy not as a friendly one. In Acts chapter 4, we read this prayer from the Christians there, and it says this. I'll find it, verse 24 to 28. Here we go. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. How about that? So they're all scheming, conniving, up to their dirty tricks, and behind it all, what's going on is God's in charge. You need to trust God when they're doing things like that, you know? And behind it all, it says they did what your will had been decided beforehand. And that does not let them off one little bit, but that describes what's going on behind the scenes. Nice, friends. Isn't that good for them? It's not going to last, is it?
Yeah.
Nice. The same verdict again. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers and the people, and said to them, you brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence, and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Right? That's the same verdict, isn't it? Yeah. He's not guilty. He's not guilty. So is it case dismissed? Afraid not. This is the nasty twist now. He should have, what should he have done? He should have released Jesus and give them an ear bashing. Bringing things like that, yes? That's what he should have done. But, next please. He says, therefore I will punish him and then release him. Punish him. You know what punish means? This is one of these Roman scourges, yeah? All the nice details there. Leather thongs, bits of bones, bits of lead and stuff stuck in it, right? When you get thrashed with one of those, you're not much good for anything, yeah? People have died from it before, yeah? Right, so, why is he going to punish him?
To satisfy them.
To satisfy them, that's the idea. He's saying, if I rough him up a bit, you know, that'll be enough, won't it? He's trying to appease what I've described as the unappeasable. They want blood. They don't want a bit of rough stuff, yeah? So that's what's going on there. Pilate's trying his best to get Jesus off, but they're having none of it, of course. I'll punish him and then release him. What a thing to do. That's unjust. Next step, please. But the whole crowd shouted, away with this man! Release Barabbas to us! Barabbas had been thrown into prison for insurrection in the city and for murder. Now, the interesting thing from the other Gospels, we find out, it was the custom at the Feast of the Passover for the people to nominate somebody that they'd like to be released. Yes? Right? That doesn't happen this time. The people don't nominate who to be released. Pilate gives them a choice. And Pilate gives them a choice for a reason. The reason is, he picks the worst person he can find and matches him against Jesus, because they're going to pick Jesus instead of the rotter, aren't they? Well, that's what Pilate thinks. So he chooses this guy called Barabbas. Barabbas was guilty of the charges they were accusing Jesus of. Yes? Insurrection. Troublemaker. Right? So he was guilty. He'd been found guilty. Right? So he gets the right guy, a guilty guy, and they bring him so that Pilate can sort of swing the vote. That's the idea. But the crowd was so angry. Well, they'd been stirred up by the authorities there. stirred up, so they're not listening to Pilate's options. I just offer you this as a thought for the coming elections, dear friends, and so on. Jesus was condemned by a majority verdict. Right? The majority isn't always right. Yeah? Right? What makes it right is if you go by what God says. Whether you're in the minority with the rest of them or not, you're right. Right? But the crowd, get rid of it. That's what we want. Next then, please. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" So there he is. Sort of a Pilate version. Yeah? Why does Pilate, what does he want to do with Jesus?
Set him free.
He wants to release him. Right, yes. But he's struggling, is the lad. He's struggling to do the right thing. Well, we all struggle to do the right thing sometimes, particularly if there are hard consequences from those, yeah? Right. He's struggling, but he's afraid of the consequences. If he lets Jesus go, the little devil on the right, on the left side, says, there's going to be riots, there's going to be bloodshed, there's going to be complaints, and you're going to lose your job. Right. That's that side. And then the other side is, but the guy's innocent. You're there to represent justice. The Romans are supposed to uphold the law, aren't they? Right. And his wife had said a few words as well. You can read that in the other Gospels. His wife had sent a message to him, don't have anything to do with this guy. You know, I had some terrible dreams in the night all about this. Leave this situation alone. Don't have anything to do with it. So he's got all those on one side and all those on the other. What's he going to do? Right. The job. The position. Well, right. Right, next one, please. For the third time, he spoke to them. Why? What crime has this man committed? I found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him. That's what he's saying is. Let's compromise. Yeah? I'll give him a bit of a hard time. You let go. Right? Fair enough, eh? There we are. What's a compromise when you meet halfway on that one? Fall down the hole. Right? Meet halfway in the hole there. Yes? There are some compromises that are good. But when he's compromising against what's right, it's bad. Right? And that's what Pilate's trying to do. He's trying to solve a problem by something bad in order to avoid something worse. Not good. Right. Next, please. But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified. And their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He's finally come down to this. He thinks it's him or me. They're not listening. Right, so it's either him or me. So what does he do? What's he doing there? Washing his hands. You can read that in the other gospel. He got out a bowl of water in front of the people and washed his hands. We wash our hands of the affair. Can you get rid of the responsibility by washing your hands? Oh no. It doesn't work. Right, but let's have a look at it. It says, so who's guilty of Jesus' death? Was it the Jews? Yeah, they set him up. Yes, they're guilty. Was it the Gentiles? Yes, because they did it. Right. So, this has been down the centuries, dear friends. There is a slur that's perpetrated against the Jews. Yes, the Christ killers. Right. But every time you say they're a Christ killer, just add your name to it as well. Please, yeah? Right? Because we're all in on it. The reason why we're all in on it is he's dying for all of us. Yes. So, does washing your hands remove responsibility? Oh, if it were only that easy, eh? Doesn't work. Sorry. No. Next, please. So, he released the man who'd been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. Right. Caution, whenever you make a decision, there's probably unintended consequences. We tried to think of things, but can't always work out how it's going to turn out. Yes, but there's going to be some serious ones here. They get their choice, but there are terrible consequences of making a bad decision. What are the consequences? We're going to look at them now. And this is the rub of what I'm sharing this morning. Let's have a look, please. Yeah? Right, Pilate, there's the four groups there. Right, Pilate. Well, he wanted to keep his job, didn't he? Well, he lost his job fairly soon after that. That didn't do him much good, did it? He was recalled to Rome, sent on exile, and there's some traditions as to quite what happened to Pilate. We don't know. I mean, it's just traditions, really, yes? One tradition is that he was exiled to Egypt, right? His wife kept going on at him about this Jesus, and they both became believers. That's the guess. It's a tradition in the Coptic Church of Egypt that Pilate and Herod became members of the Coptic Church. Hope they did. Yeah? But you don't know. Right? That's one, that's him. Anyway, he lost his job. That didn't do him any good, right? Then we have Herod. Herod, well, he was divorced fairly shortly. They all complained about him. And he got the call back from the Romans. You're out of the job. They sent him off into exile. That's we heard of him. So it didn't do him any good either, did it? Right? And then the people were guilty of what they accused Jesus of. They were insurrection. They were fomenting insurrection. And later on, it became to a war. They were the Jewish wars. Right? And then in AD 70, ultimately, they lost the temple. They lost the land, Israel. The Romans called it Palestine after that. They changed the name to get rid of the idea of the Jews being there. Right? That's the issue today, by the way. Yeah? Okay. And they lost their statehood. They were no longer a nation at all. Shipped off all around the world in 40 years. That didn't do that any good either, did it? Right? And then Barabbas. He's the interesting one. Barabbas. The name Barabbas means son of the father.
Not his own Jesus.
Yeah? And there is a suggestion his first name was Jesus. And so Pilate picks a very good choice, isn't he? Jesus of Nazareth or Jesus Barabbas. Yeah? But they chose the wrong one, of course. But what became of Barabbas? Well, think about it. I don't know, is the answer. They've done films about this, haven't they? Yeah. Yeah. But if I'd have been Barabbas, I'd have gone, whew, that was a close one. Because he was due to get bumped off, you know. The Romans, for insurrection and murder, didn't look nicely on it. Right? So he was due for execution. And Barabbas finds out that Jesus has been substituted for him. Do you know, in the middle of all of this, God's doing a theology lesson. I know it was all terrible politics and whatever, but what happened to Barabbas is exactly what happens for you and me. We're on death row, and Jesus takes your place so that you can go out. Right? That's what happened for Barabbas. Did Barabbas get the message? Don't know. Right? You can tell people, you know, Jesus died in order to save you from your sins, and say, not interested. They're doing perhaps what Barabbas did, just walked out and think, great, I'm out, that's all I'm interested in. Do you know, dear friends, that happens with people sometimes. They're all keen on Jesus when problems are there, when you get your trials and your difficulties and your challenges. Oh, I'll go to church, I'll pray, Lord, I'll do religious stuff. Right? And then when God blesses them, it all goes out nice. Don't call me, Lord, I'll call you. Yeah? I'm good. I don't know if Barabbas did that. I'm hoping for him. Maybe we'll see him. Right? But thing is, what happened in Barabbas' situation is parallel for us, brothers and sisters. There are eternal consequences, for good or for bad, on how we respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. If you respond to him in faith, trust him, and want to serve him, brilliant, great. Yeah. If you just say, he's an entertainer, he was a good man, all that stuff, not going to do any good, dear friends. And you finish it harder than when you started out. I think that's it, is it? Yep, that's it. Strange, eh? I'm sorry it's a miserable story this morning, isn't it really? But it's what happened, right? And the thing I want to draw out of all of that is that little prayer I read there. They did what they wanted to do, yeah, for all their own political and personal reasons. But behind all of that, God was working out a plan for you and for me. Eh? Is that amazing?
Yeah.
So that Jesus was going to die. He knew he was going to die. And the interesting thing is, yeah, in Psalm 22, it says, they pierced my hands and my feet. Right? Nobody can crucify themselves. It had to be somebody crucifying Jesus. Yeah? And so he fulfills the prophecy that Jesus was crucified. That tells us it wasn't just Jews involved. Who did the crucifying? Were the Romans, the Gentiles. Yeah? So we're all included in the mess. But the good news is, you can be included in the good outcome. Praise the Lord. So, thank Jesus, he was willing to do all of that, go through that for you and for me. Eh? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being the Saviour. Lord, in all the mockery and ridicule, there you stand as the dignified one. Lord, Lord, the broken, yet Lord, the one that makes men whole. Thank you, Jesus, for being who you are, for doing what you did. We bless your name. Lord, and we say praise be to you for all you've done for us. Lord, we don't know what the outcome for those people were, but we pray, Lord, you help us to respond to you positively. And Lord, sharing that good news that we may, by your Holy Spirit, see other people responding positively to Jesus. That they'll find that the death sentence over them has been changed into a life sentence for glory. Bless you, Jesus, and thank you for your mercies. Amen.